S-R-N. With Cress.
Is that what the name of it is now? Talking shit with Cress.
Might as well.
Let's change the name of it.
All right. What does
CCN even mean anyway?
Chicken Cacciatore news.
Cress Crespo news.
Chocolate covered news.
Those are the only ones we came up with. We should have come up with more.
Coca-Cola news.
And they don't pay enough.
Caca Country news.
Ooh, man.
I don't even know. What is that?
Yeah, where's your head today, buddy?
Cook County news?
We're not in Cook County.
Who's says you? When was the last time you had chicken cacciatore?
Probably about a decade ago.
What was the last time you were talking shit with Cress?
About a month ago.
We talk shit every day, man.
Well, but officially.
Oh, officially, yeah. We got the outrages. The outrages, Drew. There's just so many of them.
You don't have to tell me, man. People are shitty.
People?
Yes. As a whole.
Maybe that should be the name of the show. People are shitty. Parentheses, as a whole. The podcast.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, a person or a small group of people, usually depending, not so shitty.
Usually,
You start adding, you know, 5, 6, 7, 9 people. People are shitty.
They get shitty. They get shittier.
No. The more people you add, the shittier they get.
It's like the... A person is smart, but people are dumb.
People are dumb.
That type of deal.
Yeah. Well, it's the truth. I mean, everybody succumbs to peer pressure, and there's all sorts of fun little things.
But it's the fabric of society, Drew. That's interwoven so delicately, keeping us together.
And destroyed, probably. Probably got some rust stains.
Yeah.
Don't look at it under a black light.
Don't look at the fabric of society under a black light.
Whatever you do.
Truer words were never spoken. I'm going to tweet that. I'll tweet that later. I'm going to write that down.
It's a good one. That's some of that New Great Philosophers, motherfucker.
The New Great Philosophers. You still got to write the New Great Philosophers book. And I'm going to attribute this quote to you when I tweet it. What was it again? I forgot it.
Don't put a black light on the fabric of society. Or don't put the fabric of society under a black light.
Yeah, that's better. Don't put the fabric of society.
Don't look at the fabric of society under a black light. Whatever you do, it's fucking awful.
The fabric.
You do not want to see what it looks like.
Society. That's hysterical. It's because it is. It's stained and horrible. And there's just so many bad things that you can't see. And all right, when you just look around society, it's a law-abiding society. You know, it's not complete anarchy out there.
Yeah, no.
You know, when we're driving around,
as much
people
as
were
as
pretty
some,
much obeying the driving rules.
Much as sometimes I wish it were, so I could get away with some pretty horrendous
shit. It's not the purge out there, you know. So, society on a whole is cool. But then when you really examine that stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no.
Oh, it gets bad.
Yes.
It gets scary.
100% agreed.
So we got events about it. Gotta let out. Can't always be talking about this when it comes to like movies. Can't always work social issues and the outrages into a talk about Tom Cruise sci-fi action adventures.
Yeah.
People, go see Edge of Tomorrow. It's a good movie.
We're not talking about movies.
Where's
the button?
Yeah, we still need one of those buttons. I got to record you saying it and then put it on here, and then I'll have a button.
Yeah.
And then I can just hit the button of you saying it. Yeah. If you want to hear us talk about movies, that's what Cinema Crespodisto is for. There's also other bonus episodes you can check out. Check out the last Dr. Drew's 2 cents from last week. Talk about influential individuals.
It's a lot of eyes.
The middle 30 minutes is pretty much just Teddy Roosevelt talk.
Well, because he's awesome.
Which is fine by me. But check that out. Check out the past Crespo Disco. We're gonna have another one next week. So, you know, plenty of free entertainment for you people. If this is your first time listening, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. You got all sorts of stuff to catch up on. But here we go. Let's go ahead. You know what? I totally stole your I'm stealing your bed music from the last Dr. Drew's Two Cents. So I'm just gonna go ahead and start that there. I mean there's just I even tried splitting it up into sections. Because I like a little bit of structure. I like a little bit of organization in what I do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You don't like to fly by the seat of your pants like I do.
I kind of do. But I kind of, you know, there's a healthy mix of the two. You got to allow for spontaneity. But also you got to know where you're going in case you get lost along the way. Which tends to happen.
Which we do constantly.
Quite constantly. So I got three sets of stories. I got like the kind of cool crazy stories. I got the bad crazy stories, and then I got the general our world is crazy stories. Okay. Which also, you know, for the most part, some of these world crazy stories are just go under bad crazy.
Yeah.
So I got cool crazy, bad crazy, and then general world crazy.
Okay.
But before I even get into there, there were a couple things I wanted to talk about first. It's funny. I was thinking about talking about this, and it's a very touchy subject for people. We mentioned it. I brought it up a little bit last month, but I wanted to get back into it, especially since this article came out today. And you know, we'll just go ahead and say I want to talk about the whole gun rights thing right now, real quick. Yeah. You know, plenty of my friends and family members own guns, responsible gun owners themselves. Maybe even one or two of them are irresponsible gun owners. You know, I mean, I don't see what they do with the guns at night. You know, who knows? They could be torn around like they think they're whatever. Yeah, shooting inside the house. I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeehaw!
Bunch of your Sammy Sams out there. But you know, plenty of my friends and family members own guns. I understand gun ownership and all that, and why, you know, a lot of people want it. But I think we might have a little bit of a problem, Drew,
really,
in this country.
Really, America has a problem with guns.
I think America might have.
I don't believe you.
I think we have an issue. So, Sandy Hook, that was that school shooting, December 2012, up in the Northeast.
Yeah. Welcome to the... How fucked up is it that as a country, we've taken this whole school shooting thing as, like, a regular occurrence? Like, oh, there's another school shooting. Okay, we're used to that now.
Well,
like, the first time it was a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, this is... And now it's just like, oh, this month it happened here and this month it happened there.
Not even this month, Drew.
What?
The numbers are out since Sandy Hook.
Why are we the only country where this happens?
Since Sandy Hook, December 2012, 74 school shootings in this country. That comes out to one shooting in a school every 7.35 days.
So once a week.
You get a shooting a week now. You said shooting a month. Here's the shooting of the month is. Now it's a fucking shooting a week.
Sweet.
And according to the map, there's a map here where they pins of where all the killings are. And it's pretty much, you know, spread out throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I see at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in Florida. 1, 2, looks like 3 in Georgia. 1 in Alabama. 2 in Texas. 1 in New Mexico. 1 in Arizona. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in California. 2 in Washington. It's easier to say where there are none. There's none in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. It's because they're all smacked out of their mind on heroin, so they're not going to be shooting anyone. None in North Dakota.
Maybe themselves.
1 in South Dakota. They're shooting themselves. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. Every week, there's been a gun.
It's an epidemic.
It is absolutely an epidemic. And, you know, the big argument has become now it's a mental health issue. It's not a gun rights issue. It's a mental health thing that all the people that are committing these acts are mentally ill people, and they are. And these are just school shootings. Mm-hmm. The other day in Vegas, there was that couple that they were white supremacist people.
Uh-huh.
You hear about them, and they killed two cops in a CC's Pizza.
Nope.
Two cops, it was like 11:30 in the morning. They're just sitting down, getting their lunch, chilling.
Somebody
at a CC's.
Though.
They hated everyone. So they ambushed these two random dudes, shot them. They had no chance whatsoever. And then apparently people reported they yelled, like, this is the start of a revolution. They're just stupid white people.
Yeah.
And they run across the street or some shit to a Walmart. There's a nearby Walmart. They get in there, and then they kill someone else in there before they then kill each other, pretty much. Or they have a suicide pact mm-hmm. where the wife killed the husband, and then she killed herself.
Yeah.
The guy, the person that they killed inside the Walmart, that extra person who wasn't a police officer, had a concealed weapon. He pulled that shit and tried to stop him. He tried to be a hero.
And got shot.
Now he's fucking dead.
Yep.
And know what? Those two people, these psychopaths, he didn't know what they were going to do. They ended up just going into the store and killing themselves anyway. I bet you if you could sit that guy's ghost down right now and say, hey, look, these people just killed themselves. Would you have still pulled your gun?
No.
You'd probably be like, no. I'd go hide behind a machine and live to see my family. He was a young guy.
Yeah.
Now he's fucking dead.
Well, that's what happens when you try to be a hero.
That is what happens when you try to be a hero. And, you know, Georgia, they passed that law, that open carry law where you can... Well, not open carry, but everyone can have you can have guns anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you have guns at bars, at playgrounds, and in schools and churches. It doesn't matter. If you have the permitting, if all your papers are in place, you can have a gun fucking anywhere in Georgia. The idea being, if everyone has guns, man, like, no one has a gun. Because, you know, would you try to rob a place if you knew everyone had a gun, man? Yes, people still fucking are crazy enough to pull that shit. My gun is bigger than your gun, and I'm a quicker draw than you, motherfucker. That's what they're thinking.
Welcome to the West.
Welcome to the wild fucking West again. Oh, God. And then this fucking jackass out in Nevada, he's like, I got a concealed weapon. I'm going to be a fucking hero here. Gets himself shot, killed, family left behind. Who knows if he had a kid, you know? Kid doesn't have a parent anymore, you know? I hope he wasn't a parent, because obviously he was an idiot. It's a huge problem. Of course, now, you know, I'm going to read some Obama quotes, so a few of our listeners are just going to shut off, you know. I get it, guys, although maybe you're the ones that need to hear this stuff the most. If you don't want to hear any more, just fast forward a bit. We're going to talk about some more silly shit pretty soon. I'm trying to get the gun stuff out of the way up front.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do it quick.
Do it quick. Piss some people off. Move on. Obama said very recently, we're the only, and this is what you were talking about too. This is what you're alluding to, Drew. Quote, we're the only developed country on earth where this happens. Maybe I'll read that like Obama. We're the only developed country on earth where this happens.
Yeah.
And it happens now. Once a week. And it's a one day story. There's no place else like this. America. I added that last part.
Correct.
America. But he's right. There's no place else like this. You know? It's now happening once a week. And shit, you know, it happened once a week. I didn't hear 70 fucking news stories about school shootings since December.
Well, it's because it's not news anymore, Chris. It happens once a week.
Because it's so goddamn commonplace that it's not... Yeah, that's fucking sad. And you know who loves that? The NRA.
Oh, sure.
They're so happy that, now people are used to these gun shootings that it's not causing a huge uproar anymore. You know, not until another fucking psycho decides to mow down another 10 or 20 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, whatever happened in Sandy Hook. I mean, that should have been the straw to break the camel's back.
Yeah, no.
When you mow down goddamn kindergartners, right, and first graders,
that
should have been it. That should have been the day... America, all Americans just turned their guns in and we melted them down and we built a huge statue in commemorance of peace and anti-violence.
It's never gonna
but instead, everyone went out and bought more guns and bought more bullets and they bought more fucking more weapons of destruction.
Protect themselves from the psychos.
It's becoming mutually assured destruction is what it's becoming in this country.
Yeah, totally.
Obama also said, I have been in Washington for a while now. Most things don't surprise me. The fact that 20 children were gunned down in the most violent fashion possible and this town couldn't do anything about it was stunning to me. Right now, it's not even possible to get even the mildest restrictions through Congress, and we should be ashamed of that. And that's the NRA. The NRA is an insanely powerful lobby in Washington. They have so much money. And up until very recently... The amount of money, like we're talking about, they have a budget in the multi-millions. Mm-hmm. The biggest anti-gun lobby in Washington had a budget themselves in the like tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Well, yeah, because there's no money in it.
There's no money in safety, I guess. No money in people not having guns. There's money in gun ownership, not money in not having guns.
Correct.
So that's why the NRA is putting so much into it. So as much as I don't like this fucking guy, because he's a bit of a culture Nazi himself, mm-hmm. former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who's a goddamn billionaire, has started an anti-gun lobby.
Hey!
And he has a lot of money.
He's got the money. There. Well, and that's really, that's all it takes.
Yeah, it does take money. So, maybe, Because pretty much then, the money. What's the money for? The money is so you can buy the goddamn lawmakers.
Yeah.
Because it's openly, it's openly now known. That's how it's done in this. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
That we know that now, as like, as a people, we know that it's the lobbyists, it's money, it's all corporate control now.
Yes.
We're living in a corporatocracy. Is that right? Corporate? I just made that up. It's not pretty good.
It's more of a capitalist democracy. I mean, and I'm just talking straight capitalism. I'm talking like no morals, no nothing, no for the betterment of society.
Just making it's that money,
straight money.
Just want that bottom line. The White House tweeted out, if public opinion does not demand change in Congress, it will not change. And that's a Obama quote on legislation to prevent gun violence.
Dude, even if the quote unquote, you know, the constituents, even if the people do want gun reform, the people don't have the money to afford gun reform.
No.
There's too many dollars at stake.
It has become the norm. The shootings are now normal. It's now the gun industrial complex, weapons industrial complex, whatever you want to call it. And
well, no, it's all still the military industrial complex.
This is the private arm of them.
It's just the private side of it. That's all. It's still a military industrial complex. I mean, if you want to know,
that makes sense.
If you want to know what I think about the military industrial complex, just listen to Dwight Eisenhower.
He addressed
the nation on his way out from his presidency.
He came up with the term. That was his term.
Yeah, and he basically put it down like, listen, if we let this shit get out of control, this is what's going to happen. And guess what?
He called it.
It's happening right now.
I called it decades and decades ago. That's got to be on YouTube. Check out Dwight Eisenhower on the military industrial complex for sure. That's a good call, Drew. Yeah, man, it's just... It just makes me sad.
I mean, you know,
we're supposed to be forward thinking people. It's 2014. You know, gay people are now getting married. We're more open. It's funny now how we're more open about our racism and that we're trying as a country to correct it, even to the point of overcorrection at times. But still, you know what I mean? We are trying as a society visibly to move forward and step forward into the future. Meanwhile, a whole bunch of people are clinging to their goddamn guns because they think it's still the old fucking West.
Well, it's all about guns, country, and God, buddy.
Right. Was that a military thing?
Yeah.
That's a military saying?
And I don't know if it's a military saying. I think it's fucking retarded, though. But unfortunately, they're breeding us out, Chris.
They're breeding us? Who? The non-gun owners?
Yeah.
We're being breeded out?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'm just going to end this little gun rights talk. And then we're going to move on. Like, I promise we're going to move on. That's we went a little bit on the gun rights. So sorry, people. But the outrages. I'm going to end the gun rights talk with what gun rights proponents, people who want more guns and more gun rights, this is what they hold up as their rallying cry.
Okay.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yeah, well, like you said before, we don't have state militias anymore.
Mm-mm.
So...
we have an army.
That's...
we have an army that people volunteer for. You want to play with guns, people? There are 3-4 branches of the fucking military. You can play with guns all goddamn day, and if you're lucky, they'll send you a goddamn war. You might actually get to use those guns. Doesn't that sound fun?
Hey, and not only use those guns, you might actually get paid and awarded for using said gun.
Yes.
Assuming you survive.
PTSD, etc. A well-regulated militia. I mean, amazing how people just forget that part of the sentence. We'll just talk about the right of the people to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, you know, a well-regulated militia. And if it was a well-regulated militia, I don't think I would have a problem with them having their guns.
That's true. It's not even right. That's army. That's
But this is not a
It's random people.
People are not a well-regulated militia. We are a bunch of crazy assholes with the means to kill our not only ourselves, but most of the people around us.
And we are here in the state of Florida, which is has become known as a gun-heavy state, which it is, because it's part of the South. Even though we're subtropics, and we're able to avoid a lot of those really bad Southern stereotypes, still part of the South. In many ways. You know more than I do. You're,
the middle
you
of the,
grew up here,
the middle of the state. The middle of the state, just like the rest of the country, just like the middle of the country.
It's pretty rural. Pretty backwoods.
Pretty rural, pretty backwoods, and heavily usually Republican.
And heavy Republican.
And, you know.
But the thing is, though, Florida has all the cities now. They're getting more and more populated. Cities are known for being more Democratic.
Well, that and the coasts, too.
And the coasts, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, you know. Cities on the coast, yeah. Everybody on the coast there, down in Miami, which is heavily Latino.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, anywhere on the coast, and you're the same.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on the coast, by the way. But I got plenty of friends in the woods.
Plenty of friends in the woods. Venice. Shout out to Venice.
V-Tow.
All one of you listening. Yeah, I mean, it's the Second Amendment's pretty specific on what it's for, yet people, it's the money. It's the money. And depending on where you are right now, what state you are, it's very likely if you're surrounded by people, someone's got a gun.
Yeah. Kind of makes me want to get a gun just in case.
That's the thing. Now let's get into that fucking point.
There are lots of crazy assholes with guns.
And then, of course, there's that stupid statistic where, you know, if there's a gun in the home, the chance of you dying by a gun goes up like 700%. Like, well, duh, now there's a gun in the
really
home.
Really, exactly.
That's like that fucking the Match.com commercial where they're like, people who use Match.com are more likely to get a date than people who don't.
Well, guess what? It's because you're using Match.com.
It's because people are actively looking for... you know, there's the other thing I was going to talk about. I'm going to save that for next time. Because we're talking, these are evergreen topics anyway. I'm going to get into some of this crazy shit. Let's do the cool stuff first. Let's calm down. Let's bring it back. Let's get into the cool, crazy stuff. And then we'll work our way back into the outrageous. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
So they're making, someone made this documentary that's, a TV documentary. You know, like, what's it for? A Smithsonian channel. You know how they've been doing these documentaries lately for their channel, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get Smithsonian.
You know. But we
want it, though.
I think Smithsonian, they have a deal with whoever owns Smithsonian, whatever channels, whatever broadcast them, they have a Netflix deal, so a lot of their stuff ends up on Netflix.
Ooh,
so.
I'll have to start watching Netflix more.
So they did a documentary, hasn't come out yet, called Hunt for the Super Predator. It's part of Australia's first ever large-scale tagging and tracking program for great whites.
Oh, it's about the giant fucking cannibal sharks?
Well, it doesn't say whether these guys are cannibal sharks. It's, it says that they found a 9-foot female. Spoiler alert, they found a 9-foot female and they tagged it.
Okay.
Named it Shark Alpha.
Okay.
And they tracked it. They were tracking it for 4 months. Or just, you know, seeing where it goes, what it does, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera. And then 4 months later, however, the tag that they put on it washed up on the beach. It was found by a passerby. Riggs, who's this Riggs person? Riggs. The cinematographer who put it all together. Riggs was puzzled by the data it contained. Alpha had plunged straight down the side of a continental shelf more than 1,500 feet deep. All right? Now, while the temperature of the ocean drops considerably in deep water, the tag itself actually heated up from 46 degrees to 78.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means the tag had to have been inside the belly of another animal. The 9-foot alpha shark got ate the fuck up.
I think I read an update to that article. They think it was a giant cannibal shark.
Well, that's here in the last paragraph. They say they believe some suggested it was an orca or a giant squid. Mm-hmm. Both possible. However, while the answer isn't certain, scientists think it's likely due to a territorial dispute or extreme hunger. Alpha was eaten by another shark.
Yeah, because apparently the big boys, like the really big sharks, mm-hmm. like the 13, 14 footers, like when they see a 9-footer and they haven't eaten in a while, they'll just fucking eat them up. They'll just eat the 9-footer. Bitch, this is my territory. You got in the wrong spot.
mean, 4 feet. That's 4 feet of shark depth. I mean, a nine foot shark is huge.
Dude, imagine a 13 foot shark.
I can't. Now we're getting to Jaws territory.
Yeah.
You know? Like fake.
Well, apparently they exist.
They call the likely predator a, quote, colossal cannibal great white shark. Yeah. I'm not going to the ocean ever again. Not with that. Not when. If there's one of those in the ocean in this world, I am not going into water.
There's at least one, if not more.
At least.
One, I mean, right? Chris, we know more about the moon than we do the ocean floor.
I know. It's ridiculous. But then James Cameron went down to the bottom of Mariana Trench and was like, oh, there's nothing down here. No. Could have picked a better spot to go down to. You know, that submarine that he built for that broke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had it. They were using it for a mission underwater, but it was robotic. There was no one in it, and it just
imploded.
Yeah, from all the pressure. So James Cameron was in a death trap the whole time. Just risky. All right. NASA. They put out a warning. Well, they're not no more. They're still an agency. They're just pretty much defunded and doing nothing. Obama! NASA warned that the plan to send humans to Mars may fail. I mean, hedging your bets may fail. I mean, anything may fail. The U.S. Space Agency, NASA, has been warned. Oh, no. Someone warned? NASA warned? U.S. Space Agency, NASA, has been warned that its mission to send humans to Mars will fail. Unless it revamps its methods and draws up a clear, well-planned strategy to conquer the Red Planet, the National Research Council said in a congressionally mandated report that Washington should use, quote, stepping stones to achieve its goal of a manned flight to Mars. This could involve exploring an asteroid, building a moon outpost, or building more international cooperation with countries like China. So we gotta get to Mars, man. Get your ass to Mars. And that's where I hit the... We're not talking about
movies. I mean...
We're not talking about movies.
I have a feeling that our first mission to Mars is going to be a lot like all of the movies where all those
like
terrible, terrible things happen. And, you know, some... Like, Don Cheadle's going to be stuck there for, like, 8 years by himself and just go crazy.
Yeah. He did go crazy, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Poor guy. Stuck on Mars.
Yeah.
A horrible place to be stuck. Yeah. Can't get any...
Giant red fucking desert.
Can't get a Wi-Fi signal up there. And sitting around with his phone like this all night. It's tough. But we got to get there, though, man. We gotta get off this planet as a species. So to be able to move on as a species. It's not something that you and I have to worry about. It wouldn't even be something that like our kids would have to worry about. Or maybe even our grandchildren.
First
eventually, we are going to have to get to a point where if this species wants to move on, wants to exist... We gotta get off this fucking planet.
Well, yeah, Chris. Unfortunately, closest planet it's even remotely habitable is light years away.
Well, one that's a planet that's ready made. But I mean, come on. Well, yeah, you can go to the store and get your furniture all put together, or you chop down a bunch of trees and you make yourself a sweet ass table. That's what we gotta do.
You want to terraform Mars?
I'm not saying that's what I want to do. I'm saying that's what needs to be done.
I'm not sure if we have the resources left on Earth to make that possible.
You don't gotta terraform Mars. You just gotta build a biodome. That's all.
Okay.
Just start with a biodome.
Okay.
You have a sustainable habitat on Mars. You can dock with it. You get in there. Create an atmosphere inside. Now, all movies that depict people on Mars show them walking around as normal. I guess because the planet is bigger, it's going to have stronger gravity. So at first, it's going to be harder for us to move around, right?
Just slightly.
Only slightly? It's not going to be that much different?
No.
All right. So that's good. See? All right. So we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. We bring some planets, some UV planets. We bring some plants, some UV lights.
We don't need UV lights. We need to find a way to make the atmosphere
breathable. We might need UV lights because, like, what the planet? How does it rotate around the sun? They got to figure out what if the nights are longer? What if there's like longer times of solar eclipses or shit?
Oh, by then we can fucking bioengineer all the plants to do whatever. I mean, come on, bro.
Bioengineering. That's right. So I'm saying there's ways. We gotta get to Mars. And then from Mars, you keep on going, spread out throughout the universe like a goddamn virus. By that time too. Nanotechnology will be off the chain.
Well, that we still
by
need
that
to
time
find...
there'll be singularity.
In order for either of those things to happen, we need to find a new power source. Or we're not. Or we're going to be back to the Dark Ages before we even think about going to Mars.
Working on power sources, too. I mean, come on, man. It's all part and parcel.
It's kind of hard to get to Mars if you don't have any way of getting there.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Working on it. That's part of the international cooperation. You know, like working with China and Russia. Even though we're politically and ideologically. Thank you. At odds with, you know, the beer and the, even though we're at odds with them in many ways, as governments and as countries, they're still working together quite a bit. Well, Russia just announced that they're ending our contract with space. But but that contract runs for like another 4 years. China, meanwhile, they started working. They just joined. There's this huge naval exercise going on in the Pacific. Like 26 countries are involved in it. And it's the first time China has participated. So like they're working with all these other countries. Like, yeah, let's take our boats out for a spin and see what everyone got. Let's compare dicks, you know. Yeah. But it's the first time they're doing it. And the government released a statement like, hey, even while we have problems with other countries and, you know, like even with the West and stuff, we're growing as a country. They actually said that, like, we're growing and we want to, you know, be more involved and shit. We can work together on some things while being at odds.
Well, yeah,
things,
you know? I mean, good Lord. China's been so isolated for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think of China and isolated, you might think I'm fucking retarded because it's such a giant country. But
it's all the way the fuck over there. It's on the bottom of Russia.
Well, and even so, it's just been insulated by itself.
Yeah, and its government. Its government insulated them. But now with technology and the way the world is so much smaller now, and we're all interconnected, we gotta work together. So as a species, as people, not as Chinese and as Americans and as Russians, etc., not as white people and as black people. And,
don't forget, you know, the yellow ones.
And the yellow ones.
And the brownies.
And the brownies and the Redskins, the Washington Redskins. You know, are there any other Redskins? Just Washington.
No. I'm pretty sure Native Americans are the only red people.
Not even thinking of ourselves as men and women. You and I, here, me over there. It's the blanket theory. We are one.
You have crushed way too many egos with what you just said.
I'm just saying.
And I guarantee you lots of people have just turned it off.
Well, then fuck those people. They're the ones that are holding us back.
The human ego cannot handle that shit,
we're
bro.
We're all in this together. We got to work together. We're all the same. We're all just humans.
But how can we
are a species.
But how can that be the case if I'm my own personal god?
Well, yeah, you're your own personal god over there, and I'm my own personal god over here. But if our two gods want to, like, continue existing, they gotta work together.
That ain't gonna happen, bro.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Tower of Babel style. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's
too many. The differences. We allow ourselves to be separated by our differences. Even if we meet someone that's a lot like us,
we'll try to
find differences to separate ourselves. Because we want to, like you said, we want to be individuals, blah, blah, blah. You can still be an individual. You can still be yourself. You can rock your mohawk or wear your punk band t-shirts or chain wallets or what else people do to express their individualism that everyone else does.
They get piercings and tattoos.
You get your piercings and tattoos that show how individual you are, and then you can hang out with all the other people with piercings and tattoos and relish in each other's individuality. It's a bunch of bullshit. We need to put all that stuff aside. We need to get together as people. But if we're fucking too busy shooting each other because that guy, he's wearing red, I'm wearing blue. Blood's Crips, y'all. You know? I mean, how about that? Those people wear a different color shirt and they hang out in a different part of town. Fuck them. God. Back to the outrages. I didn't mean to get back to the outrages. We're talking about NASA and Mars. You ever hear of the Turing test?
The what?
The Turing test. T-U-R-I-N-G.
I don't know.
The Turing test. I'll give you the definition first. The test was devised in 1950 by computer science pioneer and second World War codebreaker Alan Turing, who said that, here's the test, if a machine was indistinguishable from a human, then it was thinking.
Okay, so the whole AI test thing.
It's an AI test, yeah. It's called the Turing test. Computer simulating 13-year-old boy becomes first to pass Turing test.
Fuck, we did it.
This is according to The Guardian. Eugene Goostman fooled 33% of interrogators into thinking it is human which is seen as a milestone in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, it is.
A supercomputer has duped humans into thinking it was a 13-year-old boy. Five machines were tested at the Royal Society in central London to see if they could fool people into thinking they were humans during text-based conversations. No computer has ever previously passed this test, which requires 30% of human interrogators to be duped during a series of five-minute keyboard conversations. Eugene Goostman managed to convince 33% of the judges that it was a human. Professor Kevin Warwick from the University of Reading said, "In the field of artificial intelligence, there is no more iconic and controversial milestone than the Turing test. It is fitting that such an important landmark has been reached at the Royal Society in London, the home of British science and the scene of many great advances in human understanding over the centuries. This milestone will go down in history as one of the most exciting."
So everybody's seen all these movies and read all these books about what happens once, you know, computers become self-aware.
When they become
right?
self-aware. August 17, 1997, Skynet becomes self-aware.
Like I said, people realize that, you know, science fiction becomes science fact real quick.
You know, there's a...
That is the inevitability.
Some Japanese scientist started a company called Cyberdyne.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he didn't know
and
anything
he said,
about
it. He said, I never heard of him. Oh. A Terminator? What's that?
Yeah. A Terminator?
And meanwhile, he's making a company that's cybernetic robotics. Anyway. The successful machine was created by Russian-born Vladimir Veselov, who lives in the United States, and Ukrainian Eugene Demchenko, who lives in Russia. Hey, talk about the... There you go, cooperation. Getting bring us all down. Veselov said it is a remarkable achievement for us, and we hope it boosts interest in artificial intelligence and chatbots. Because that's what he wants to make. He just wants to make chatbots. He just wants to put out an app where you can your best friend can now be her.
Fuck.
What's Scarlett Johansson? Not talking about movies. Warwick said having a computer with such artificial intelligence had implications for society and would serve as a wake-up call to cybercrime.
Until the computer decides that it wants your bank account information on its own.
Yeah. And then what the fuck?
And then what? And then you have people rioting in the streets because you want to quote-unquote kill a computer?
Many computers, because they're going to... Warwick said that there had been previous claims that the test was passed in similar competitions around the world. However, a true Turing test does not set the questions or topics prior to the conversations. We are therefore proud to declare that Alan Turing's test was passed for the first time. And then they have a little rundown, because now whenever an article puts out, if it's about someone, there has to be a rundown at the end where they run the guy down. And talk about, here we go. During the Second World War, Alan Turing's critical work at Britain's Codebreaking Center at Bletchley Park helped shorten the conflict and save many thousands of lives. However, instead of being hailed as a hero, Turing was persecuted for his homosexuality.
Ah, goddamn queers.
After his conviction in 1952 for gross indecency with a 19-year-old Manchester man, he was chemically castrated.
Yes, what they used to do back in the day.
2 years later, he died from cyanide poisoning in an apparent suicide, though there have been suggestions that his death was an accident. I wonder what this cyanide tastes like. No, accident! And then last December, as in December 2013, Turing was given a posthumous royal pardon. Good job, London. Really advanced, guys. Shout out to our UK listeners. I love you guys, but come on, man. That is
fucking ridiculous. Oops, my bad.
So we're on our way. We're on our way to some true artificial intelligence that's going to just blow people's minds, and then it's going to blow us away.
Literally.
You know, you can follow the CIA on Twitter.
Yeah, because that's a smart idea.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, why would I want to actively follow the CIA on Twitter? But they're on Twitter at
CIA.
CIA. Why do you think they did it? Why do you think they just launched? This was last Friday.
Because
a Twitter and a Facebook account.
Because they want to seem like okay people as opposed to the spying scum they actually are.
Maybe secretly.
Or maybe they just want all of our information. Oh no, wait, that's the NSA, my bad. Goddamn.
Well, that's all of them.
Fuckers.
Dean Boyd of the agency's Office of Public Affairs, their PR guy, CIA PR guy, says, quote, "Earlier this year we filed an impersonation complaint with Twitter. someone appeared to be using this handle to violate both Twitter rules and CAA rules by spreading false information. Uh-huh. So, Twitter shut that account down and gave it to the CIA. And the agency plans to be active in social media. We'll be able to more directly engage the public and provide information. It's important to share insights, historical artifacts, and even unclassified information with the public. That's interesting. We want to make sure that unclassified information about the agency is more accessible to the American public that we serve, consistent with our national security mission. There will be an incredible amount of artifacts made available that most people wouldn't otherwise be able to access. So if they really do that, they could probably be putting some interesting stuff out there. I wouldn't follow the CIA Twitter, but I would check in on it and go through their timeline every now and then.
There's all sorts of fun and interesting things that happen in CIA history. I mean, I love, you know, the good old spy movies and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's all
absolutely.
Based on intelligence gathering and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Totes.
But in the year 2014, they are fucking corrupt. Mm. And nosy.
They are.
And it's, I have no, I how the fuck can I trust them?
Their first tweet.
Ready? We didn't do it.
Close. We can neither confirm nor deny that this is our first tweet. Oh, Drew. Did you hear about this food powder supplement that this engineer developed?
No.
Ooh, I don't know. You like food. I don't know how much you're going to like this. Rob Reinhardt, 25-year-old engineer, created a food replacement product that he knowingly named Soylent.
Nice.
So, I'll just sum this up. This Rob Reinhardt fellow, for some reason, he saw eating food as nothing but a fucking chore. Just something that taken away valuable time from him, that he would have to stop what he was doing to put food into his body. You have to collect the food, eat the food. It's like, oh my God. And then clean up after all the food and all that shit. So he pretty much, and he's just an engineer. He has no background in medicine or, you know, body science or anything, but he did some research and he found out what are the basic nutrients, the essentials that the human body needs to function properly. And then he went out and got all those things and like in their pure forms, mixed it together, and he made a powder that he would then blend up, like make into a shake, and he just started drinking that. He's been doing that for like a little over a year now. Just making his own food supplement powder. Turning that shit now into its own company. People can totally buy this stuff. You can buy Soylent. It comes like, I think it comes in powder form. How does it come?
Can I get it in green?
I don't think so. But a week's worth of Soylent costs $70. Seven bags of Soylent arrive in a white branded box.
So it's $10 a day.
$10 a day. You're advised to consume 1 2,000 calorie pouch of Soylent daily. So you're paying $10 for a pouch. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Just consume the pouch.
Yeah.
And apparently, I mean, it works. It works great. You might go through, when you first take it, you might go through a day or two of some weird side effects as your body adjusts to the powder and adjusts to not having all the other crap that you put into yourself. But after like 3 days, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think? Would you ever be interested in switching over to Soylent, to a substance that you can just consume and then not have to worry about eating for the rest of the day?
I have a feeling he's going to have a military contract here in the next 3 hours.
Oh, man. That's great for military, isn't it? But now you got to think of the psychological ramifications for the military. Do you really want your military to be weighed down with relatively flavorless stuff? Because when people describe the flavor, because it's like a white thing, but they still try though with the MREs. They're horrible, but they try. There's a variety of them. It's like, what do you want? You want Salisbury steak? You want succotash? You want, you know, ratatouille? We have horrible versions. We have tacos in bags. We have horrible versions of all the foods you used to love back home. Now,
You really think it'd be better to just, here's your cup of white stuff. You only get one of that a day.
What flavored white stuff do you
it's
want?
It's not flavored. No, you can't add flavoring. Now you're fucking it up. Gotta now you flavor. Might as well just eat food.
Okay.
Like a normal person.
Roger will do.
All right, then. There you go. Apparently, it kind of tastes like it would be mine, but some people would say it tastes like milk. Other people says it has kind of an oaty, like oatmeal type flavor.
And it's just bland powder.
Just bland. Just blandness. Just the blandness.
That's kind of weird.
That's the world we live in. You are a fan of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes, I am. And I know what you're going to say next.
Calvin and Hobbes creator... What's his name? Sam Waterston?
Bill.
Sam Waterston?
Bill Waterston.
Not the same guy then? So all these years, I've been imagining Jack McCoy as the secret writer of Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah, not the same person.
Bill Waterston, the creator of the beloved Calvin and Hobbes, after a nearly 20-year absence, returned to the Funny Pages, where he did a 3-day guest appearance run on the Stephen Pastis strip, Pearls Before Swine, which just happens to be the one strip that I read on a daily basis. Did you see all three of them, Drew?
No, I only saw the one. Where the crocodile is eating the zebra and Stan tastes like shit.
It's funny. The whole concept, the way they came up with the idea was, the story that they came up with, Stephen Pastis came up with the idea. He would like meet like a second grade girl who would complain about his lack of skills in his art, his drawing. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, let's see what you can do. And then she draws one panel, and like the one you saw, that was the first one he did, was the panel of the alley. So those are characters in the strip, the alligators and the zebra. Yeah. But it looks, you know, more detailed and cartoony.
It's Waterston.
Yeah, and he's great. He's great. And then the second one, the whole thing was a Waterston, all three panels. Or except, you know, the last one was past this. But the first panel was like the two of the main characters, a pig and a rat.
Yeah.
And they're like, so now that we have a new guest, now that we have a new artist, like, are things going to be different? And then the rat goes, no, we're still going to be pretty much a talking heads strip. And then the big middle one is him turning around and it says in exclamations, that occasionally has Martian attacks from outer space. And then and behind him is a city with huge, like, machines crushing the city. And there's saucers. There's so much going on, you know. It's such it's a great little thing. And then in the last one, Stephen Pestis is like, stop showing off, you know, talking to the little girl.
Yeah.
And then
Bill Waters, don't you remember all the Calvin and Hobbes comic strips where, like, Calvin thinks he's in space?
Yeah.
He's Space Commander Calvin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's totally, yeah. And then, the last strip he did, Stephen Pestis talking to the little girl. He says, listen, I know I was a little hard on your art skills, but do you think there's any way you could? And then she cuts him off and says, draw you as a square jawed cartooning stud surrounded by scantily clad women. And then he draws this. And it's him in his underwear sitting in the chair being all buff.
Yep.
Well, it looks like the three girls from Archie Comics, Betty, Veronica, and whatever.
It does.
And then the last one, he's like, will you please
draw my comic forever?
And she
says, the art form's dying.
Yeah. And then that was it.
No, seriously, Bill, please draw my comic forever.
Oh, seriously, right?
Please, Bill. I mean, Bill, come back. We miss you so much.
I mean, the guy really is legendary in the medium. And
Calvin and Hobbes was so good on so many levels.
What is it with...
If you were an adult, you got it.
If you
were a kid, you got it.
Well,
but there were different things to get.
It's a lot like Far Side, Gary Olson.
Yeah.
That was my jam.
Yeah.
And similarly, Gary Olson was a fella in the mid-90s. He was like, you know what?
Fuck it.
I'm done. Long enough. I've done this long enough. And it's like, no!
You can't!
And then other people have done their own version
of the one frame.
And
yeah.
No, guys.
Doesn't work.
It's not all of you. Just
doesn't
stop.
Work. It's not the Far Side.
Just stop it. So that was cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It was pretty crazy.
I love it.
That was interesting. All right. Time to get into some of the bad crazy. Exactly. Let's start with three more things. Ah, yes. This is a fun story. A Texas restaurant, surprise, surprise, the story happened in Texas. A Texas restaurant slurred and banned a gay couple, and they're sticking to it. Their Yelp page is now fabulous.
Here we go. So these two fellas, these two young men, pretty unassuming looking.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of dudes.
A couple of dudes.
Colin Dewberry and his partner Kelly Williams decided to dine out at Big Earl's restaurant in Pittsburgh, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently enjoyed their meal for having it horribly soured on the way out the door. As they were leaving, their waitress approached them and reportedly said, quote, "Here at Big Earl's, we like men to act like men and ladies to act like ladies, so we want you to never return." Adding, quote, "We don't serve facts here." Just to put a fine point on it. It's a little, mm-hmm. little tiny little bow right at the end. If there's any bright side to this depressing and depressingly familiar tale, it's that Big Earl's Yelp page has now become a repository for queer-tastic reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a one-star review from David W. in Brooklyn. "Seriously, the food is whatever, but the scene is simply too die. They don't call it Big Earl's for nothing. Am I right? Lady boys and boy ladies acting so gender non-specific, you would think you've died and gone to heaven." Heaven in all caps.
Yep.
"New York City's hottest boy party from the 90s. Pittsburgh, that's what heaven is, I guess. Pittsburgh, Texas just got a whole lot cherrier. It's a take on the word share. And I, for one, can't help but squeal with delight. Squeal, 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 squeal." That's funny. "Do yourself and the lovely owners a favor and get your bedazzled bottoms in this place ASAP. Happy cruising, girls." That's funny. "The couple who have lived in East Texas their whole lives." Gay in East Texas.
Ugh.
That's a reality show.
Yeah, no shit.
They said they have never had that word flung at them in their entire time there.
Really?
Yeah. "We've never had that kind of hate displayed to us before. It was just so nonchalantly, almost like she was reading a piece of paper." That's because she was.
Yeah.
"The, quote, policy of requiring men and women to adhere to some unclear definition of traditional roles is posted on Big Earl's door, word for word, minus the, we want you to never return and we don't serve facts here."
Yes.
And it's still there. Oh, it's been there since the restaurant opened. Here's another Yelp review. "Big Earl has a tiny weenus. I had the misfortune of dining at this establishment. Big Earl came to our table and recommended the Catholic special. I inquired about it, and he asked me to follow him into the freezer, where he proceeded to introduce me to Little Earl."
Mm-hmm.
"It didn't taste fresh at all." "East Texas KLTV got in contact with the big man himself, and Earl calmly explained that this was all a big misunderstanding. They weren't kicked out for being gay. They were kicked out for not acting like men. Because they were touching legs. Not that Big Girl actually saw it. Quote, I didn't go over there to see what they were rubbing, but that's not appropriate in a family restaurant that has a sign on a door," he argued. "As for the waitress, it turns out it's his daughter."
And then, I wonder where she gets it from.
And then, Big Girl fucking doubled down.
Okay.
And went to Facebook.
And
put up this post. Here we go. You ready? Prepare for the outrages. "Big Earl, my goodness, does anyone read or study? Big Earl has spent his life in the military to defend this country and will be happy to explain the Constitution to you." I like how it was written in third person. "Earl is well-versed in the Bible and Christianity, has traveled the world, and is well-educated. It would have been nice for the full interview to have played in order to explain the background to what caused the incidents. The quote, we don't serve fags here, was never said. Instead, after being badgered, the young lady said, we do not like fags." So there you go, clear that up. "The behavior portrayed by the young couple was simply inappropriate and would have been considered so no matter what sexual orientation." So, just to reiterate, I want to read that one line again. Because Big Earl really wanted to clarify this so badly that he put it on print on the internet. The quote, we don't serve hags here, was never said. Instead, the young lady said, we do not like fags. That's all. They'll serve fags. They just don't like them. And then they'll tell them so to their face.
The gall of some people.
Oh, dude, I mean, it's incredible.
Seriously, like those... If I was there and had heard that young lady say that, I would have slapped her across her stupid cunt face.
You would have liked to have. But then Big Girl would have been like, what? Yeah, Mom, you smack around my daughter.
Yes.
I'm a well-traveled military guy. Article goes
apparently on, doesn't like fast.
Yeah. When article goes on to say, when your defense of your bigoted employee slash daughter and store policy boils down to she didn't say, well, I already explained that, you already lost. Not that you'd realize that since you are already lost in a world of self-delusion where you should be patted on the back for unhappily serving gay couples as long as they don't bump legs or do anything that seems a little queer. Earl said he had surveillance footage. Oh, I accidentally drew. Earl said he had surveillance footage of Dewberry Williams harassing his daughter. Because we all know how gay people love to taunt Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Although he declined KLTV's request to let them see it. And at least verify that such
because
footage exists.
It wasn't there. Exactly. It can't be verified.
Asked what exactly acting like a man means, Earl elaborated. I'm liking this Earl guy. He is just, yeah, I'll tell you what acting like a man means. A man's supposed to stand up and be a leader. He's not supposed to be a woman. He's not supposed to come in here in a dress. Now, again, let me go back up to here. Show you again the picture of these two gentlemen. Are they either of those guys wearing a dress, Drew?
Nope.
No, they're just...
They look like pretty normal people.
Pretty normal dudes. They just look like just people. Article finishes here. Aside from the fact that neither Dewberry nor Williams have vaginas or wore dresses, two things I generally think of as positives in the world, and the fact that I see women standing up and speaking out against things a lot more than I see men doing it these days, I'd like to thank them for filling that first part of Earl's manliness definition. They could have meekly left and hoped that one day things would change. They didn't. That's being a man and not a person. So if you're in East Texas, go out to East Texas, Pittsburgh, Texas, go to Big Earl's, and enjoy yourself some delicious... non-faggy briskets? I don't know.
I mean... You know what they should do? All the gays should just go there and just make out. In his restaurant.
That's like what they tried... That's what they did with the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
When the Chick-fil-A thing came out, they're like, we're gonna have a gay sit-in.
Exactly.
And then that's what the women do for breastfeeding. When they want to... Like, we should be able to breastfeed in public. Yep. All, like, 20 women
whip it out
together.
Titties.
Let's whip out our titties and start squirting milk. You know. Okay, that's... That's a fun story. That's good times. Like, I have another one that's almost as good. I want to get to that one next because it works. Let me see. Great white shark. Yeah, I have a story about the middle class, how we're worse off than ever, and the numbers don't reflect that. But yeah, I'm going to skip that one.
It's depressing.
It is depressing, yeah. But maybe... so is this one. Nebraska mayor flips out at atheist. Quote,
"Heard about this.
Minorities are not going to run my city." The mayor of a small Nebraska town is in big trouble after he freaked out on an atheist during a Memorial Day ceremony, made nasty comments about minorities in government, and basically... Well, that's an advertisement. Okay, here we go. Oh, well, this mobile site sucks. Article worked a lot better on my laptop, on my desktop. No. Yeah, it's not a... All right, here we go. No, sorry, this was wrong. Basically, he was like, I'm a dick.
Yep, that's usually the way it works.
But you know what? He's from Nebraska. Are we going to be surprised that a dude in Nebraska is going to be like...
Not just that, an old white man from Nebraska.
He is, I didn't give you the name or anything. How'd you know he was an old white man?
You're talking about someone in government in Nebraska. Pretty sure they're old and white.
Basically, someone confronted him about blurring the lines between religion and government. And he was like, uh-oh. I ain't cowtown and no goddamn atheist.
Separation of church and state. What?
This is an interesting story here. Going back, do I run into like a
we live in a capitalist theocracy. I said it.
Okay, here we go. Well, one more time. We're gonna bring this one up quick. In Texas, they got this whole open carry gun thing. Yes. Texas come up a lot on the show, I guess.
Woo!
But there's one guy who has a group out there, a gun rights group, and he's trying to do. He's organizing. I want to say they're protests, like demonstrations in Texas. And the demonstrations equate to people going to public places like restaurants and stuff, openly carrying their guns. Mm-hmm. In Texas, you're not allowed to openly carry around a handgun. He wants to change it so you can carry a handgun. But you are allowed to carry around your rifles and your hunting rifles and stuff like that.
unfortunately, that includes stuff like AR-15s and, you know, other very menacing-looking rifles that they look like assault rifles, even though they're not. So what's happening now is people will be, you know, they're sitting in a restaurant, they're in a Chipotle, they're eating their lunch, they're enjoying themselves, and 10 people walk into the store strapped just with their giant guns.
You want my money? Take it.
Yeah, why are you guys here with these huge guns? I'm trying to eat my fucking burrito bowl. You know, I said no shell. I'm trying to save on the carbs, but extra sour cream because I'm an idiot. And these guys are coming in with giant guns. Now I'm shitting myself because I don't got my gun.
You'll be shitting yourself later from the Chipotle. You'll be shitting yourself now because the guns.
Yes, that's a lot of shitting. I don't have time to be doing all this shitting. All right? That's why I got the soylent stuff. I didn't mention what happens with the shitting with the soylent.
Oh, man.
So the NRA put out a statement where they called the... They call the open carry rallies, quote, downright weird. The NRA said the Texas open carry people were being crazy.
That's like when I heard about the guys in Africa who stole all those chicks, all those girls.
Yeah, the Boko Haram.
Yeah. And Al-Qaeda put out a statement saying, we have nothing to do with these crazy assholes.
Yeah, because those guys are like, oh, this is all for Islam.
Yeah. And Al-Qaeda's like, nope, no, it's not. You guys are fucking crazy.
When those women haters come out and say, we're not associated with these women haters.
When Al-Qaeda says you're too extreme, you've gone too far.
Yeah, I've gone too far.
So the same thing. When the NRA says you're too extreme, you've gone too far.
Yes. So here we go. NRA put a statement on their website, quote, using guns merely to draw attention to yourself in public not only defies common sense, it shows a lack of consideration and manners. That's not the Texas way, and that's certainly not the NRA way. The president and vice president of Open Carry Texas did not return email seeking comment. All right, I should not have even bothered reading that sentence. All right, in a statement posted on Open Carry Texas Facebook page, they criticized the NRA, saying if the group doesn't retract its statements, Open Carry will have to withdraw its full support for the NRA.
Sorry, you guys aren't crazy enough for us anymore. We need more crazy.
Guess what the NRA did, Drew?
Don't tell me they fucking retracted their statement.
This was less than a week later. NRA has rolled back an earlier statement criticizing open carry rallies in Texas. Chris Cox, the executive director of the group's lobbying arm, said in an interview Tuesday on an NRA-hosted radio show that the statement was a mistake and that it was written by a staffer who was expressing his personal opinion. Quote, the truth is, an alert went out that referred to this type of behavior as weird or somehow not normal, and that was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. Added that the group unequivocally supports open carry laws. So the NRA, they're like, you know what?
You know what? We are a bunch of crazy assholes. Fuck it. That's what they said.
Yeah. That'd be like the Al-Qaeda coming back and saying, oh, you know what? Actually, we got the girls.
Yeah.
The Nigerians are chilling with us. We got them all.
Yep.
I'm going to skip that story. Oh, this is a funny one. Here we go. Yeah, where did that one go? Yep. Port Orchard, Washington. Authorities say a 28-year-old man suspected of robbing a woman at a Washington ferry terminal friended her on Facebook the next day. Drew, you're spending half this episode just like with your head in your hands, just looking down in complete disdain.
And this is why I consider myself a misanthrope, sir. Because of stories like this, because idiots like this are not only out there, but unfortunately, they're also the majority, and they're breeding.
And they're on Facebook.
I am so afraid.
This guy was trying to breed. The Kitsap Sun reported that Riley Allen Mullins was charged Friday in Kitsap District Court with second-degree robbery. Authorities say a woman was sitting at the ferry terminal using her headphones when she was struck on the head from behind. Classy dude. After being struck, he grabbed her iPod and purse and ran. She didn't recognize the man, but noticed a tattoo of a triangle on his neck. The next day, the woman received a Facebook friend notification that recognized the sender as the man who robbed her. Investigators confirmed the Facebook account belonged to Mullins and noted a profile picture of Mullins showing the triangle neck tattoo. So there you go. That's how they got the guy. God. That's more...
People are fucking stupid.
That's more fun stupidity. Kind of like the man in Seattle who was caught burning feces behind a police station.
Again, Washington, Washington. Come on, guys. I know you're cool. Seattle. Number one thing Seattle police officers noticed Sunday at the East Precinct Station was a fire in the alley. The next thing was number two. Hi-yo!
Ha!
Whoever wrote this article needs to be slapped. A man told officers he had just relieved himself and was burning the feces. He said he did not know starting a fire was illegal and thought he did nothing wrong. Because there were nearby trash bins with paper, a 31-year-old man was arrested for reckless burning. So they had to find a reason to arrest him. Like, man, we don't... The cops are looking around like, we don't have... There's no law in the books.
There's no law against burning your own shit in the middle of the fucking street.
I guess you can burn your own shit. God damn, what are we gonna... Oh, there's paper over there. Okay, we got him on this one. Some nerd cop is like, oh, Section 42 says violation B. With the paper in the bins and the nearby bins, we can get him for reckless burning. Shut up, Poindexter. Oh, wait, reckless burning. Wait, that's a thing? Arrest him. Arrest that man. Arrest that homeless man. I assume you saw this, because what else would you relieve yourself in the alley?
Do you really think a homeless guy is going to have the afterthought to burn his feces after shitting in the alley? I'm pretty sure he's just going to leave it there and walk away.
True. Maybe he knows not to leave behind evidence.
Why doesn't he just bury it like a cat?
It's asphalt. Bury it like a cat. He's in a parking lot. What do you want to do? Walk down to the park down the road? He's got to shit now, Drew.
He should shit in the park down the road. He wouldn't have gotten arrested.
So an Indiana woman is under investigation after her husband's corpse was left in their home for more than 9 months and fed on by birds.
Excuse me?
Gerald Gavin Jr., 89, whose body was found on May 3rd on the living room floor of his house in Lafayette, Indiana, had been dead since at least July 15th. Investigators are trying to determine if Gavin's wife had a financial motive for not reporting the veteran's death. There are also laws that require prompt reporting of deaths. So, yeah, just leave the body. Just leave the body. 9 months on the floor. Let the birds eat it. The birds got to eat something. The birds got to eat something, Drew. You expect the birds to not eat? You expect the birds to not eat? So there's a story here about how the GOP... Now I'm going to just the world crazy. General world craziness. Not necessarily good or bad. Well, it could be good or bad. Mostly bad. Actually, I guess it's all still bad, really. I guess I really only had two sections for it. Well, this isn't really necessarily a bad thing, but it's just kind of a funny thing. The GOP is struggling to recruit black voters because as the years have gone on, especially in the last 15, 20 years, the movement, the work of trying to get blacks and Hispanics and Asians, because Asians also have a low turnout compared to whites, traditionally speaking. Mm-hmm. Those groups have always voted in lower numbers, but they've been going up in recent years, and now it's getting to a point where... when you group all the quote ethnic minorities together, they're voting at a higher rate than the whites.
Well, if you look at the straight numbers, Chris,
there are becoming more.
It's because it's
by like 2030.
The minority is the majority,
which then shows which is funny. This was pointed out to me recently. I'm a relatively smart guy. I think I'm pretty with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize this until recently. Just the term minority.
Yeah.
The whites are the majority. You're a minority. Fucking get in your place. We're the majority. You know, we're in charge here.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of that terminology.
Correct.
Man. And now I hate using the word minorities because it's reinforcing that.
Yes.
And it's bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And then they want to go, oh, you're the majority minority. They still want to keep us as a minority.
Yes.
You know, and I say, yes, because I'm Hispanic. I'd be quoted as, quote, a minority.
Correct.
Fuck you, white people. Right?
Correct.
You're not better than me. You're also not necessarily worse than me. Back to my original point. All people are shitty.
We're all shitty.
We're all good. We're all shit. We're all smart. We're all stupid. We're all in this together. Get your ass to Mars.
Fuck Mars, dude.
All right, then what's next? Mavemshnip.
Screw that. We just need to have more less people on the planet.
Yeah.
We have
less people on the planet by sending them to fucking Mars.
You know what we need? We need another world war. We just need a good old-fashioned knockdown, drag-out, slobber knocker, take out like a third of the population.
You can, though, because it's not trench warfare. It's not jungle warfare. If it's a world war, it's fucking nuclear warfare.
Nah, that's no fun.
No, it's bad. It's bad news. A world war is the end of the dream of getting off this planet. I'll tell you that much.
That's no fun.
I'll tell you that much.
I don't want a nuclear war. I just want a lot of people to die.
Here we go. Federal judge to Wisconsin. You know traditional marriage is polygamy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The federal judge who struck down Wisconsin's gay marriage ban thinks state officials have a thing or two to learn about the history of marriage as a social institution. In defending their same-sex marriage ban, Wisconsin state officials claim that, quote, virtually all cultures through time have recognized marriage as the union of an opposite-sex couple. But, as U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb wrote in her 88-page ruling on Friday, that's simply not true. Her quote.
Thank you.
As an thank God she's a judge, right? Her quote. As an initial matter, defendants and Amici, I don't know what Amici is, have overstated their argument. Throughout history, the most traditional form of marriage has not been between one man and one woman, but between one man and multiple women, which presumably is not a tradition that defendants and Amici would like to continue.
And not just multiple women, but children as well. I mean, girls were getting married off at 11, 12 years old to these 85-year-old scumbags.
Well, not 85. I mean,
well, whatever. Still,
relatively speaking,
still back in the day,
they were all dying at the age of 40. But
yeah, still, by our standards, it's banging 12-year-olds. That's not good.
Like moral disapproval, tradition alone proves nothing more than a state's desire to prohibit particular conduct, she wrote, citing Justice Antonin Scalia's dissent in a 2003 sodomy case, which stated that, quote, preserving the traditional institution of marriage is just a kinder way of describing the state's moral disapproval of same-sex couples. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's the whole...
Agreed.
I've been screaming about this for a while. That's the whole... You can't find, if you go online, you know, you can't find a single fucking group in this country that calls themselves anti-gay or anti-gay marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, no, I mean, there's KKK, white supremacists. Yeah. You got your extremists. But you can't find a nationally organized, like really organized anti-gay group. What you will find, family first groups.
Yes.
Pro-family groups. Yes. Pro-marriage groups. Uh-huh. They're not anti-gay.
No.
We're pro-marriage. Even though them being pro-marriage means they're fucking anti-gay.
Yes.
Semantics. Can't argue semantics with me, motherfuckers. I'm sick of your shit, your back talk. Minorities, majorities, pro-family bullshit. Fuck.
What, you're not pro-family, Chris?
I'm pro-family, but my definition of family is not the same as those people. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
But hey, you know what? Crazy country you live in could be worse.
Oh, yeah, good. We could be so much worse.
We could be living in Thailand right now.
But why? No, I don't want to live in Thailand.
Definitely not now. Not since the military took over.
Oh, really?
Military took over. Yeah, that's nothing I'm going to bring up. Military took over Thailand. They had a coup. And the article said something like their 13th coup in the last 80 years.
Uh-huh.
This is barely reported in this country. No one's talking about the military coup in Thailand. Because why? What does that mean?
Because it happens all the time.
It happens all the time over there. But should it keep happening? And now it's going down. The military's in charge. They're cracking down on protesters. You know how people are protesting?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting together in public and they're reading books. Because the government has announced all these books that are banned.
Yeah.
So protesters sit down and pull out book titles such as 1984. And they begin to read. And that's their... protesting, because apparently you're not allowed to fucking do that in Thailand anymore. Another way they're protesting, they're doing the whole three-finger Hunger Games thing.
No.
That's become a thing now. If one person stands there in public with their three fingers out, the military will leave them alone. Once it gets up to five people doing it, that's a group, that's a protest, jail.
Yep.
All of you. We could be living there.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
That would be awful. I just wanted to bring it up and show that people aren't talking about it. Maybe we should be talking about it.
No, we should be.
But we're not living there. That's good for us. All right, I'm gonna finish the show with this one. You hear about how this all ties in together. You hear about how countries are like host cities, prospective host cities for the World Cup and the Olympics. They're dropping out now. Cities don't want to host these events anymore.
Okay.
Because it's now proven. Now they have years of data to show, and history shows the supposed financial windfall that would come from hosting such events, non-existent. Not only do cities have to spend lots of money to build infrastructure, to build stuff, to accommodate these events. They have to give a lot of tax breaks. They have to pay all this money out. They have to give a lot of incentives to other people. So they're losing money. I just found out that for Brazil, during the World Cup, they have to... I think this is on this week's John Oliver. We've got to watch John Oliver. But they... they don't do. They shut down the taxes for some reason. The World Cup, like FIFA, you can't charge people taxes anymore. So now they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. So now tons of countries are like, we don't want this shit. We don't. After what happened in Sochi with the all those places already, they're already overrun with grass. It's already falling apart. All that shit that they built over here in Sochi. It was only 4 months ago.
Well, nobody's fucking using it, man. Exactly. And they're not upkeeping it because nobody's fucking using it.
No one's
going to
use it. So it's all a waste of money and time. So people are like, we're all dropping out of this shit. You know who's going to be next? You know what cities are going to be next to be like, I'm done with this shit? Cities looking to host the Super Bowl because for the first time, it's been made public. A list of demands the NFL makes.
Oh, for the Super Bowl?
For the Super Bowl, for the host city. And dude...
ridiculous stuff.
Let me tell you. Holy shit. Entitled motherfuckers. Here we go. The competition to host the Super Bowl is fierce. This is from Yahoo Sports. Frank Schwab. The competition to host the Super Bowl is fierce, and the NFL is well aware of that. So the league has no qualms about submitting a list of demands for the host city like it is a diva rock star. The Minneapolis Star Tribune got its hands on the 153-page list of requests and demands for hosting the game. Minneapolis won the right to host the Super Bowl in 2018. The obligations set forth by the NFL from the city include many prudent ones dealing with security and operations. Right,
okay, well, that makes
sense. That makes sense. To somewhat ridiculous ones like bowling venues being offered at no charge.
What?
Specific ATM machines that accept league preferred debit and credit cards.
Fuck you.
And team hotels televising the NFL Network a year before the game.
Blow me.
And almost all the requirements, of course, end up being free of charge to the NFL, which makes billions in revenue annually.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The term no cost, quote, no cost to the NFL appears exactly 150 times in the 153-page document.
So once a page.
Pretty much. The Super Bowl 52 host city bid specifications and requirements document that the Star Tribune published, dated November 2013, is fascinating and audacious. They got the document from an unnamed source. Because, they probably shouldn't
lose his job.
Yeah, should not have been leaked. But here we go. It got leaked. It's out. According to the document, NFL manages every aspect of the game down to who should be on the host committee. The host committee should be chaired by a business leader with significant local influence and governed by a board of senior local business and government personnel. They also control stadium seating. Quote, all seats must be a minimum of 19 inches wide with seat backs and armrests. Suites containing stools with unobstructed views are acceptable, provided that the NFL has the right to approve the number of stools to be used. They want to count the fucking stools in the suites. That's micromanagement. The host committee budget, the NFL says, has been between $12 million and $50 million in recent years. That's a little bit of a... I mean, it might cost you $5 or this might cost you $1,000. I don't know yet. We'll let you know later after you bid on it. NFL requires grass fields be resodded or artificial turf be replaced or reconditioned at no cost to the league. There are specifications for video control rooms, public address systems, and locker rooms. There are demands for local officers, for anti-counterfeit enforcement teams, police escorts, for team owners. 35,000 parking spaces on Super Bowl Sunday. 20 free billboards in NFL-designated areas. NFL also wants 3 top-quality golf courses. Remember, we're talking about the NFL. They want 3 golf courses for the NFL Foundation Golf Classic. Although this one is probably not applicable to Minnesota in the winter. And 2 top quality bowling venues for the NFL Foundation Super Bowl Celebrity Bowling Classic. If the I love this one. If the cellular service isn't adequate in the team hotels, the hotels must put up portable cellular towers. all these things and many, many more, quote, at no cost to the NFL.
Seriously, you know what it is? All these people, they act like hot girls who always get their way.
Entitlement.
Every single time they ask for something, they get their way.
Yeah, so they ask for more and more.
Yeah, exactly.
And they keep getting it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
NFL's the hot girl of the party.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, oh, man, I wish I had enough money to bid on the NFL, the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
just to have them present me with the papers mm-hmm. so I could look at them straight in their stupid faces and tell them to go fuck themselves. Are you... You're fucking kidding me, right? Are you reading this? Seriously. You're dead serious about this? Fuck you.
You go psh, right yeah. in your face.
Yep. That's what I want to do.
There's even a section outlining a, quote, familiarization trip for the NFL. It sponsors broadcasters and other partners 16 months before the Super Bowl. The host committee is responsible for all travel expenses for the 180 people on that three-day trip. Everything about the Super Bowl seems to be managed by the league, even down to food and beverages in the NFL suites. For example, it's very, very specific here. They even put it word for word. Section 8, menus for NFL suites and hospitality areas. The concessionaire must agree to provide a special menu and preferred pricing. What does preferred pricing mean? It means...
free.
Not necessarily. Just a minimum of a 30% non-commissionable discount. That's for catering the suites allotted to the NFL, as well as NFL working booths, offices, and operational areas. The concessionaire must also agree to the extent allowed by law to serve NFL sponsor beverages and products in NFL assigned suites. So when you walk into an NFL assigned suite, nothing but Bud. Bud and Bud Light.
Well, I guess he was not going to an NFL suite.
Well, that's fun fucking for sure, especially at the Super Bowl. The concessionaire also has to submit the menu and pricing of its items for game day to be approved by the NFL. So, yeah, there you go.
Fuck you, NFL. And pretty much.
To beat out finalists New Orleans and Indianapolis, most fans were presumably agreed upon by Minneapolis. Until the Star Tribune leaked the document, the entire process had been very secretive, which doesn't seem to be fair to the Minnesota taxpayers who are paying for the Vikings' new stadium that the Super Bowl will be held in and might need to pick up some other costs of the game. Although the committee has said the game will be a net benefit to the taxpayers. But that's the argument, is it, though?
Obviously, it's
not. All the money that's getting spent, is it really a benefit? I don't know, guys. I think you're full of shit. But, you know, that's what happens when cash ruins everything around me.
Mm-hmm. Cream get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all. All right, well, those were the outrages. I have a couple other stories here, too, about how academic fraud at school you love, UNC, mm-hmm. about how, you know, I mean, we've seen it at all schools. I've seen it personally in my own eyes. The student athletes, they get the cushy classes and they don't even show up and they mysteriously get A's. Mm-hmm. This is about this one dude who was on the basketball team. Mm-hmm. They didn't even go to class. Mm-hmm. Dean's list. So you know what? You're so frustrated. You know what that leads me to, Drew? The argument for how student athletes, they shouldn't get paid because a lot of them are getting paid because they're getting an education. I'm calling bullshit on that argument because they're not getting a fucking education. They're getting an education on how to get by. For every Blake Bortles that's out there that not only goes through football and does well, but also gets his degree in 4 years and a real major.
And actually goes to class?
For every, yes, he actually went to class. For every college athlete like that, there are, I don't know,
50.
100 of these fucking dudes that aren't doing it, man. They are. And it happens at all schools. When I went to UCF before, the football program was the UCF football program that is now. It's still a podunk little fucking thing. I saw the football players getting preferential treatment. You know, they were in some of my classes. Did the coaches show up? Like, are they here? No? Okay, whatever. It's fine. Mm.
Totally. Uh-huh.
It's just like, I mean, what are you going to do? And it's UNC, man. It's a big school. You love that school.
Seriously, if they just need to cover their tracks better. You take a look at the attendance sheet before you put the motherfucker on the dean list. Come on!
What about the dean's
list? Sarah, come on, guys!
So stupid.
Fuck!
I didn't even try. There was also another story about how, I think in Texas, a swarm of grasshoppers.
Uh-huh.
You hear about the grasshopper swarm?
A plague of locusts?
Pretty much. A plague of grasshoppers large enough to be picked up on Doppler radars and weather maps and shit. It was gigantic moving through the state. Imagine, like, you're just outside, you're enjoying a lemonade, and then you get a mouthful of grasshopper.
Yeah. That's why groups of grasshoppers and locusts are called plagues.
Yeah, I guess so.
They come and they eat everything, inside everything. I mean, you think that's the big here in the States? You should see the shit they got in Africa. Takes over like entire swaths, like halves of countries are completely covered in grasshoppers.
Yeah. Thank God we don't live there.
Yeah.
But we live here. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Email us at cinemacrespodisto@gmail.com. Tweet me at I am Chris Crespo. And tweet Drew at antihero419. If you got a minute, let him know. We're out of here. Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it.
Very welcome, sir.
Let's get some dinner.